wonderful truth in song. Well, this morning I'd like for us to do some review as we've worked through this series on lament, and then towards the end of the service we have a couple of folks who would like to share a lament with us that they've written, and I'm grateful for those of you that have done that. It's been a blessing to be able to see a little bit about what our church family has been going through and hurting in the process. I hope that this is not redundant, but I just want to kind of emphasize to us again some truths that we've learned through this. I hope that it will be an ongoing thing that will change your perspective on how to view some of these things. I know I've gotten quite a bit of feedback from people who have said, "Pastor, this has totally changed how I view this particular aspect or this particular aspect." And I'm grateful for that. It did for me. I can tell you that as I worked through this process. We began a number of weeks ago with the idea of what is lament and why are we so, if you will, scared of it? Why do we tell people, you know, real men don't cry and those kinds of things as we worked through some of this. We talked a little bit about, for at least one reason, why people are uncomfortable with tears in the sight of suffering, is that it is a blasphemous assault on their precariously maintained American spirituality of the pursuit of happiness. That's a tremendous quote, really. And one of the things that has happened that I didn't emphasize a lot at the time, but I want to just take a few minutes here. One of the things that's happening in, if you will, church at large, okay, is that a lot of churches have bought into this idea, and the idea of, hey, if you serve God and if you give to God and if you do this for God and so forth, your life is going to be wealthy, happy, and all this kind of stuff. And what's interesting about that is that's not how Jesus lived. And if we're going to talk about a perfect person who did everything right, we would be talking about our Lord. And yet, did he live wealthy? He didn't even have a place to lay his head, the Word of God said. And did everybody like him? No, ultimately they killed him. Why? Because they didn't like what he had to say. So it's interesting, even when we look at these people who like to promote a form of socialism, by the way, that's exactly what it is, because in that system, the only people that get rich are the people at the top. So the only people that get rich in this prosperity gospel are the preachers who are telling you that if you give them your money, then you will also be rich, but you don't, but he does, you know. So he gets to fly around in multi-million dollar jets and homes and boats and all this kind of stuff, you know. But that's not what God's word tells us. And this is not to be a discouragement to you, but the truth is, God tells us sometimes when we serve him, it costs us dearly. That's why he says to his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. This wasn't some glorious piece of jewelry. This was a hated and despised instrument during those days. Jesus wanted them to know, hey, it may indeed cost you dearly, those things. And so we worked through some of this. We talked about the power of lament as the opportunity to express the sorrow we feel while also anchoring our hearts in the truth that we believe. And that's really a synopsis of this entire thing. It's the sorrow that we feel. We feel it nonetheless, but we're anchoring our hearts to the truth of what God has taught us and what we know about him, regardless of what the feelings are around us, okay? And that's important for us to be able to do that, and that our God wants us to come to him. He wants us to say to him, this is how I'm feeling, yet I'm going to trust in you. We talked then, what are the steps to lament? And most of us have this drilled into our head at this point. But the three steps are complaint and request and then trust. If it's going to be a genuine lament, it has all three of those. Now, we talked about the fact that it wasn't necessarily in that order, though if we look at Psalms 13, we could see that. Turn back to Psalms 13, if you would, please. We use this as our example intentionally so that you could see this really clearly laid out in God's Word. Verse 1 says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" There's his complaint. Lord, what are you doing? And how long is this going to last? And then he goes into his request in verse 3 and 4. "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." So God, here's what I want you to do for me in this process of complaint. And then the last two verses, we see his trust. But, remember we talked about there's going to be a but or a yet or an and or something that transitions to say, but regardless of what you do, if you don't ever relieve me from this situation, if you don't ever answer my prayers, if you don't ever show yourself what I think you should do, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I think it's important as we think through this that the psalmist, as he's penning these words, David, as he's penning these words, has not been delivered. He didn't get what he wanted and then he praised God. No, he actually praised God regardless of what God does for him. Now, this is really important for us, okay? And I've mentioned this a number of times, but I want to emphasize it again. God is not good if he does what you want him to do. God is always good. Always. He does only good. Now, does that mean we see it as good all the time? A couple of you are honest. Right? We don't. I mean, the truth is, every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, there have been times when we have said, at least internally in our mind, if not out externally, we've said, God, what are you doing? Like, are you serious? Lord, you can't do X. But the fact is, God is God. And remember, that trust is continuing to let God be God in the midst of everything else. And it really is acknowledging that you and I both, all of us really, all of us recognize we are limited human beings. We cannot possibly see everything that God is doing. As one author says, it takes faith to pray a lament. It is a statement of faith. Even in the complaint and the request and the trust, it is a statement of faith. God, this doesn't make sense to me, and I don't know what all you're doing, and I cannot see it, and from my perspective, this is messed up. But, I'm going to trust you. I know who you really are, so be careful, because all of us have probably been there where we think, well, God, if you're really good, you're going to do X. Don't get trapped into that. Because what will happen is you'll become disillusioned with God, but you're actually being disillusioned with the God you've created, not the real God. And that's really important as we work through this. Lament is a form of mourning, but it's not just mourning. It's not just what we think of as death. It's a form of worship, even though, again, we don't think of it as that. But it is very much a form of worship. We look through this complaint and request and trust. Remember, we talked a few times about this. Trust was, I will trust in his mercy. That is his steadfast love, his covenant mercy, his covenant love. It is the ultimate hope for God's people and God's ability to keep being God. In other words, whatever else is happening around me, I trust that God will be God no matter what. When you really boil down to it, if he's not, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. And then in this same psalm, it talks about rejoicing in salvation. Choosing to trust, though limited, requires that we rejoice without knowledge of how all the dots are connected together. God in His incredible mercy sometimes allows us to see the dots connected. And then sometimes we don't get to see them at all. We don't get to understand the whole process. We're like, okay, Lord, I'm not quite sure why you're doing it this way, but you obviously have a plan in place for us. And then I will sing, keep trusting the one who keeps you trusting. I'm not in a trusting mood. I'm not in a rejoicing mood. And I definitely don't feel like singing, but we do it anyway. That is what lament helps us to do. Really important as we work through that process. Then we looked at Psalms 42. And we looked at just, and I'm going to quickly go through these. A lament works for someone genuinely wanting answers from God. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Lament helps me deal with sorrow. It's one of the ways that I can take this sorrow of heart to God. Lament helps me deal with doubts. When I say, Lord, what are you doing in these situations? Number four, lament allows me to pour out my soul to God. A wonderful truth that is, and a comfort, really, in so many ways. Number five, lament deals with what my mind is saying and feeling versus what my faith is saying. This is what my faith says, but right now, Lord, my faith doesn't look like I want it to look in the process. Number six, lament teaches me to praise even during sorrow and pain. It allows me to rejoice in the pain. I'm not saying that we rejoice about the pain. We rejoice in the pain. Number seven, lament helps me focus on what I know about God from the past. What has God done for me in the past, and how can I anchor myself to that? When the storms are raging around me, when it doesn't seem that it's going well, how do I anchor my soul in that? Number eight, lament takes me to the source of my strength, even with those questions. It allows me to go to God in the midst of the questions, and it says to Him, God, what? That's why Job could run to God. And he can say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I can't find you to my left or to my right or behind me or forward. Lord, you're nowhere to be found. But I'm going to trust in you. You know the way that I take, and when you have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But God, I can't see that right now. I'm blind to it. Number nine, lament recognizes that others, those enemies or friends, whoever it is, will question God. Sometimes in the midst of our difficulty, people question God in our lives. And that's what Job's friends did, didn't it? Well, Job, you've obviously got problems that you're not willing to admit. That's why God's doing this to you. Until God stepped on the scene and told them, you guys are in big trouble, and you better beg Job to pray for you, or else you are in worse trouble than you can imagine. This was not because Job had done something in the process. And so it's important for us, as we grieve with people, as we weep with those that weep, for us to be careful that we don't draw conclusions about what God might be doing in their lives. Now, it's okay if someone asks us, well, do you think God could be doing this? To direct them to truth in Scripture. But we know from Scripture, just because someone's sick, does that automatically mean that God's judging them? Yes or no? No, right? Jesus makes that abundantly clear. This man wasn't born blind because of his sin or from his parents' sin. He was born blind so that God could get the glory. That was God's purpose. Did God tell that to his parents? Oh, by the way, when you have a baby, he's going to be born blind. But I just want you to know, eventually, when he's a man, somewhere down the world, Messiah's going to come. He's going to heal him. And God, people are going to glorify me through his life. So just hang on. No. Because, listen to me, please. God doesn't owe us an explanation. Sometimes He does. And I'm with you. When He does, I'm like, thank you. That really helped me. But if He doesn't, He doesn't owe it to us. He's God. And we just simply trust in Him. Then we talked a little bit about what do we request. And we looked through a number of Psalms. We can request, rise up, O Lord. We can request help. We can request God to remember His character. God, remember that You are a good God. We could request that justice be done. We could request that He not remember our sins. We can request that He restore us. We can request that He don't be silent. God, don't be silent to me right now. We can request that He teach me. We can even request that He vindicate me. God, in this situation, would You vindicate me in what's happening? The psalmist does that in Psalms chapter number 35. Then we moved into the idea of death. And what is death, and how does God relate it to us? And I'm not going to review all of that, but just a couple of thoughts as we work through this. One of the things that really jumped out to me as I was studying through this was death makes a statement about who we are. We're not too important to die. And that's a reminder to us, no matter how significant we think we are, we're all going to die. And in the midst of this lament series, we've lost people in this church. Kathy Bishop died in the middle of this. We're not too important to die. But death is inevitable. And it is only in the reality of death does the cross and the resurrection mean something to us. If death is that not that big of a deal, then why did Jesus come and die? Well, death is a big deal. And we do lose something when death comes. And what a tragedy that is for us. Then we talked a little bit, after a lengthy time there, about Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, and what it was. It's poetry, and the five chapters that are there, and how in the book of Lamentations, particularly, the hope, though it is somewhat at the end of chapter 5, the hope really centers in the middle of the book, those famous verses of Scripture, "For His mercies are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness." And we talked a little bit about the fact that Lamentations, Jeremiah, writes this Lamentations in the midst of utter destruction. He wasn't saying that His mercies are new every morning in a beautiful sunrise and a peaceful lake or whatever. He was standing in an absolute devastated nation with their city still smoldering. And he could say that. Why? He said that by faith. Lord, in the midst of this mess that's around us, I know You're still faithful. But if you read Jeremiah, if you read his writings in Lamentations, you can find that desperate fluctuation as he's like, "Lord, are You going to forget us forever? How long, Lord?" I was like, wait a minute. Nope, You're not. You're not going to forget us forever. I remember that. But are You sure, Lord? We've been there many times. Like, Lord, I know this truth about You, but I don't know, Lord, right now it's difficult for us to work through this. We talked through the fact that these hardships sometimes reveal the idols in our life, and Israel definitely and desperately needed that exposure. They needed to see that they had created even their worship of Jehovah into an idol. It wasn't real worship. It was just this facade of something. They went through the motions of it. Yes, they came and did the sacrifices, and yes, they came to do the specific things that they're supposed to do, and yes, all of them came at Yom Kippur and this and this and this, but it was all just rote. We aren't doing this because we really want to worship God. And that's really important for us to think through as well. Do we get up and read our Bibles and pray and do these things just as a checkoff list? Or do we do them because we are deeply in love with our God? Do we know Him? Like, not know about Him, but really know Him. So that we can go to Him with these things. We talked about the poetry of this book and how rich it was. Reading through this book, we see how did this happen? This lament was because God had warned them and they had rejected Him. Lamentations is probably the most clear lament of lament over our own sin and over a nation's sin. Chapter 2 tells us that God is their enemy and they suffer as a result of that. He's not going to be long-term their enemy, but he certainly was right now. Chapter 3 is the most familiar, as we mentioned, and is the kind of the apex of it. And then he goes back into that, okay, God, what are you doing again? We learn that God's mercy never ends. We learn that waiting is not a waste. We all struggle with waiting, don't we? The final word has not been spoken. By the way, the final word of your life's not been spoken either. I love the passage in the New Testament that says, you know, the truth is, some men go to their grave with their sin, and some men go to their grave with their glory. It doesn't say those exact words, but that's basically it. God's going to figure all that out. Those guys who faithfully served God for 60 years and nobody ever heard of, and they never spoke at a conference, and no one ever even heard that they were a pastor somewhere in some remote location, God has not forgotten. And that is a tremendous blessing. That one day, all of a sudden, this is all going to come to light. Like, oh, yeah. God is always good. Always good. And we're so grateful for those things. Okay, as we finish up here this morning, are there questions that you have about this lament series that may benefit everyone here? And I'll try to repeat the question for those watching on live stream, and then we're going to turn the live stream off. Those of you that are watching live stream, we've got a couple of laments we would like to share just here and not have that published out there. For now, anyone have a question about lament or something that you're not quite connected the dots with, or something that we can help with that may help other people as well? Anyone like that? By the way, I don't know if I said this earlier. I think I may have one particular time. But one of the things that has surprised me about lament is that it has helped me even in counseling, particularly with some people who have been deeply hurt in the past and are trying to deal with that. Being able to work through this process of lament has helped them even in the counseling aspect, which was something that the Lord has helped through some of those things. So that's even in yourself. If you've got some deep hurt, it's great to get that down on paper and tell God how you really feel about that. So, okay, questions? Anybody? Okay, good. Yes, sweetheart. Right. Okay. Okay, so as she learned to do this process of lament and then pray, not my will but thine, but then when God chose to do something different, then to back up and say, wait a minute, I don't want that per se. But not just to say that I trust God, but actually trust Him. In other words, do we get to a point where we want His will more than our will? And what if that will is different than ours? I can tell you I've been there where I'm like, but Lord, this is what, obviously, if you know what you're doing, you would choose this, right? Hello. Don't look at me like you've never said those kind of things, because that's exactly what we do, right? I remember, and I may have shared this with you, but I remember specifically as we were getting closer to Pastor Surrett's resignation and whether or not I would be the pastor here. And I remember one day saying to God, God, I want to know. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because I want to. And he's like, but why? And I'm like, stop asking me why, right? Like, it's like, that's what I feel like, you know. And he's like, do you really want my will? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, what if my will is for you not to stay here? And I'm like, well, and you know what? I just had to get to a point where I said to God, well, here's the deal. I don't like that choice. And you're like, did you really say that to him? He already knew what my heart was saying. He just wanted me to admit it to me. And it was like, yeah, that's probably not good. And he's like, okay. Now, by the way, he wasn't speaking to me audibly, but you know how when he screams at you, basically, he was like, but is my will good for you? Do you believe it's really good? And could it be good outside what you think is good? Could be. Could be. Absolutely. Okay. By the way, when I say it could be, I really believe that it is. I'm saying could be as in, you know, how we talk to God, right? And sometimes, and Lisa and I have both struggled with this, sometimes we think we know what his best plan is. And therefore, if he were on the right page, he would choose this, obviously. And he's not, so what's the problem, God? Let's get in line here. Now, again, I want you to think your own soul. Don't walk out of here going, yeah, I don't think I'd ever talk to God that way. But that's exactly where most of us have been at some point or another, all right? The fact is, would you guys go ahead and work on turning off that live stream, okay? The fact is, a week from today, our daughter Rebecca is going to give back that little baby.